Your name is?
Betty Thompson now, Betty Taylor, when I went into service.
What year did you go into service?
In 1943, I was working in Chicago, found it hard to keep body and soul together as a single person, not too well paid. I'm a physical therapist, was doing that at Michael Reese Hospital when some of my friends joined service, and so one day I went down to the naval office, but they weren't letting women go overseas, and that was one thing that I knew I wanted to do. So then I went to the Army, and they took my application, and I quit my job in Chicago, and in August I got a call asking if I would go out to San Francisco or Santa Rosa and work with polio patients. They were having an epidemic out there. The National Foundation wanted me to go, and I did. And while I was there, my orders came to report to Memphis. This was, of course, when transportation was hard to come by, so they told me to go to Fort Mason and take my oath of office, and that way I would get a military priority. So I did, and was given a third-class priority on the railroad. It took me 3 days and three nights to get to Chicago, and then reported to Memphis and discovered to my astonishment that I was the first woman to join the 48th General Hospital. There were 17 male officers, 83 enlisted men, and me. And for 2 months, we waited for the rest of the group. Finally, four nurses joined us, and then our colonel, and he was a gentleman who did not believe in women being in the service, so he treated us as if we were men, which meant that we went on all of the training hikes, did the same calisthenics, wore the same packs, helmets, boots, bivouacked, marched in extreme heat, and
nice guy.
He never changed his attitude, really. We met him later back at Percy Jones Hospital, and he was thrilled to see us, and you'd have thought we had been the best of friends. He apparently didn't remember all the things that we did. Then we were in Memphis just 2 months when we received our orders to go overseas, went to the East Coast, finally got our orders to go to a port of embarkation. We went off to strains of Over There and much fanfare, marched down to the pier, saw the Queen Mary on the left, and to our horror, they turned us to the right and put us on the Ile-de-France. 1 week later, there was a fire in the hold, so they took us all off, and back to Camp Kilmer we went.
You said 1 week on board ship?
1 week.
Where we sailed?
Came back to Camp Kilmer on Christmas Eve. This was great for many of the people who lived in the area, because anyone who lived within 100 miles or something like that was given a 3-day pass. The rest of us were allowed to make a phone call to some place of our choice. We were not supposed to tell, of course, where we were or how come we were there. Then on New Year's Day, we went off again by train. This time there was no Over There, no farewell. But this time when we got to the pier, they put us on the Queen Elizabeth. There were 15,000 of us on the ship, which normally would carry 2,000. There were 15 of us in a stateroom for two, 5 triple bunks, but we really had a great trip. The ship went as fast as it was able to. We traveled without convoy, zigzagged to avoid the ever-present submarines, had 75-foot seas, and it was during that kind of weather that we could get a seat in the officer's lounge, because there were enough that were seasick and confined to their bunks. We were on 2 meals a day, which didn't help the people who were seasick, because you can keep your stomach full, you don't get too sick. Landed in Glasgow, put us on a train. The bagpipers greeted us. We went down through Reading, Bath, to Swindon, I think, where we were billeted in private homes for 3 weeks. When I was sent to the place that I was supposed to go, I got into bed, looked up, and was looking at the sky. There had been a hole bombed in the roof of that house. It was cold. So the next day, somebody with a little influence got me into a little warmer setup. We were there for 3 weeks, then went down to Petworth, a little village, where we were sent to a camp that had been used by the Canadians. The physical therapist, the Red Cross, and the dietitians were always at the end of the roster, and that night, when the nurses were sent to their quarters for housing, they came up 9 short. So, and of course, we were BDs, were in these ones that had no home, so they put us in the dispensary. So we took, there were 2 to a room. These were actually examining rooms, but there were cots, hospital cots, that in case they had patients that they'd had to keep. But there was no heat. So we got undressed, got in bed, and decided that was not going to work. So we got up, got dressed, and went back to bed. We were issued 2 blankets, and that was it. Then we were sent down to Stockbridge, England, where we took over or set up a hospital. Some of the time we did some temporary duty in Salisbury or Winchester, but then our hospital got underway in earnest, and they began to practice for what we knew would be the big invasion. And of course the night came, and we will never forget the sky being filled with planes and gliders and you name it. 12 hours later, we had our first patients. Pilots shot down from some of the fighter planes, and about that time we began to be very, very busy, and so they put us 12 hours on, 12 hours off. We were there until D plus 71, were sent down to Southampton, where we had the only real respite from duty that we were to have until the end of the war. Finally put us on a Libyan ship, I believe. And you guessed it, there were again 6 of us this time that there were no quarters for. So some of our nurse friends said they would share their bunks with us, which meant that one of you slept a while and then got up and went wherever you could, which was usually the latrine, because it was the only place that was warm enough, and while the other person slept. But we were fortunately only, I think, 3 days and 3 nights on that ship. We were taken off the ship in very high seas in ducks and walked the last several feet through the water. Those didn't get us clear up to shore. And we staged then in Normandy, and the rain never quit. Some of our enlisted men had litters for beds, not cots, and those litters were almost floating. This is, excuse me, Betty Taylor Thompson again. I see I failed to give any dates or many dates. The day I went into service was and arrived at Memphis, Tennessee, reporting to the Kennedy General Hospital, where our unit had some of the grounds out in back of the hospital, where our hospital was gradually being assembled. That date was October 16, 1943. We were there, as I said, for 2 months, plus a little, received orders to go overseas, tried to sail, as I said, on the Ile de France on around the 20th of December, then learned that there was a fire in the hold and we had to be taken off, and this, again, as I mentioned, we went back to Camp Kilmer, arriving there on New Year's, on Christmas Eve, 1943. Then we finally did sail on the Queen Elizabeth on New Year's Day, 1944. We arrived in Glasgow January 9th, having made one of the faster trips across the ocean. Then we proceeded down to Swindon, where we stayed for 3 weeks and reported into Petworth, where we were for probably another 3 weeks, which brings us close to March of 1944. Our hospital in Stockbridge was ready for service late in May. In the meantime, many of us had been sent to nearby hospitals, some of them English, but those hospitals, particularly in Salisbury, were taking care of American casualties. Twice I did TDY there, and then we stayed in Stockbridge until July, Depot 71, which would be making around August 15th or so, when we received our orders to proceed to the continent. And after a week or so in, actually it was in Lyme Regis, a little, what had been a British summer resort in Seaton-by-the-Sea, we had sort of individual cabins, two or three of us, to each one, and this was one of our more carefree times. We had lots of sunshine, were able to rest because we had been working hard. However, it was also one of the times when I got a very severe sunburn, and then was sent up to Salisbury for temporary duty again, and apparently the sun had done more than burn me, because I fainted one day while I was helping a patient exercise. This was in a ward where everybody had a fractured femur, and all but one soldier was were in traction. And as I was helping him learn how to work and exercise his quadriceps, I proceeded to faint. When I woke up, they had summoned a nurse from somewhere, and I had my head in her lap, and the first thing I saw was this fellow in traction who was leaning half out of bed, worrying, wondering what was wrong with me, and I sat up with a start and said, oh, you can't twist like that. That's your intraction. And promptly fainted again. They later kidded him a lot because it seems one of the British therapists who worked there had done almost the same thing. And so they teased him, said he certainly did have a devastating effect on women. Then we sailed from Southampton in the middle of August of 44. I think it was 44. Right, and staged in Aubonne in Paris, outside of Paris. Went into Paris shortly after it was liberated. I think that date was September 8th, and we moved into Paris on the 23rd of September 1944, where we operated the hospital, as I recounted. And although we were extremely busy, we did enjoy our time in Paris. Had a lot of snow, which was unusual, but that enabled us to make snow ice cream. During the Battle of the Bulge, we had more patients than we had beds, so they took over our officers' mess and made it into a ward. We also, the halls were all full of people who had trench foot. The halls were, of course, unheated, and this was an ideal setup for their feet to gradually, hopefully, come back to life. We were in Paris until after VE Day. This would have been June of 45 when they split us up, and some of us, well, our hospitals went to Marseille, where, as I've said, we took over two station hospitals, and gradually our people were assigned two units elsewhere, and except for a 3 or 4 day pass to Cannes, it was a sad time because we were saying farewell to people that we knew, many of whom we'd never see again, and it was like saying goodbye to members of your family. Except when you say goodbye to members of your family, you know you're going to see them again. I was sent up to Reims, and it so happened that to the 94th General Hospital, and it so happened that about that time, the mess officer, of whom I've spoken often, was sent to the 83rd General, which was not very far from Reims. His commanding officer was named Taylor, and was quite intrigued that my name was Taylor, and so he made a car available to my husband to be so that he could visit me every now and then, which was nice because we also knew that soon we would be separated. And then, as I've said, or you will hear, orders for many physical therapists to come home were dispatched, and I did arrive back in the States almost 2 years to the day from the day I entered service, October 16th. Now it is 1945. As did most of the other therapists, I took a discharge, and with my terminal leave, I was then out of service as of January 1st, 1946, after some 26 months plus a few days in the U.S. Army. My identification number was M886, which when I have repeated that to people, they always think I've forgotten half of it. But and I'm not just sure whether that meant that I was the 886th woman to be sworn into the Army, but that's what I was told. By the way, I misspoke when I said I was always treated specially because I was the first woman in service. I meant in service in the 48th General Hospital. And that did give me a little, get me a little special attention because they all remembered, some of them I'm sure, because I wasn't very good at saluting until one of the officers got a hold of me, and when we were going into town said, I want you to salute correctly because you're going to have to return a lot of salutes. So that was how I learned. This was recorded in 1983, and this edition was done May 14th, 1984. I just will add that since I've been out of the service, we've had four children, and most of the time I have continued working. In 1946, we were married, and in August of 47, I organized the physical therapy department at Community Hospital here in Battle Creek, Michigan, where I worked off and on between children, the children's arrivals, until 54 or so. Then I worked out of my home, continuing to take care of polio patients. And in September of 55, I went to the employ of two orthopedic doctors in their office, from where I will retire the end of June in 1984. I now work for the three doctors who have succeeded the two I originally, for whom I originally went to work. My days in the service are among the happiest of my career, and also probably very informative, and I learned a lot of things I could do for people with fresh injuries, and this time has helped me a good deal in my civilian career. Thank you.